Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Senate Judiciary Committee hearings continue today for Judge Neil Gorsuch. He's President Trump's nominee for Supreme Court Justice. And while most of Capitol Hill was focused on the president's wiretapping claims and the struggling GOP health care bill, an important part of his judicial record came up yesterday: students' rights under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act.
If anyone is suggesting that I like a result where an autistic child happens to lose, that's a heartbreaking accusation to me. Heartbreaking. But the fact of the matter is, I was bound by circuit precedent, and so was the panel of my court. And I had been bound for about 10 years by the standard in Urban versus Jefferson County. Now, Senator, there are other cases where, again, unanimously, my court had ruled for children with disabilities under this law.
Now, what you hear Neil Gorsuch explaining there are opinions in three different cases before the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals when he was on that court that all tended to side towards school districts and away from students and their families on questions of their rights under the law. Meanwhile, right around that same time that Judge Gorsuch was before the committee across the street at the Supreme Court, justices ruled unanimously in Andrew F. v. Douglas County School District, setting a higher standard in education for the 6.5 million school children with disabilities across the United States. Andrew F. is a child in Colorado with autism, and his family pulled him out of school after his progress stalled. Then they sued, since the law requires a free, appropriate public education. Regina Skyer is a founder and manager of the law offices of Regina Skyer and Associates. They're a special education law firm, and she joins me now in the studio. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks, Todd.
So I said a free and appropriate education, and appropriate is the word that seems most at stake here in front of the court.
We refer to that as the litigated itch. In 1975, Congress passed the Individuals Disability Education Act. In 1975, it was called the Education Handicapped Act, changed names. And it said children with handicapped conditions are entitled to a free, appropriate public education. The statute didn't really give us definition of the word appropriate. It wasn't until 1982 that the United States Supreme Court issues the first decision known as the Rowley decision, which tries to explain what that word appropriate is.
And so what are the justices saying now about what appropriate means? Because Justice Roberts, in his ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts, said we could have a standard that's so low that you call appropriate that kids just languish, or we can have a higher standard that actually means something.
Well, 35 years later, after Rowley, the Roberts Court came out unanimously with a decision that said it's not enough that a child receive an education that is merely de minimis in its appropriateness. We need to see something more. And the language from that statute, from that decision rather, is terrific. Unanimously yesterday, the court said the child's education program must be appropriately ambitious. We took away that term de minimis to ambitious. Goals may differ, but every child should have the chance to meet challenging objectives. This is a higher standard than de minimis, which means trivial, which is what the 10th Circuit said when they denied Andrew F. relief.
When Neil Gorsuch is still on that court and was part of that ruling. But the court,
I don't believe he was part of that panel.
That panel. Okay, but he does sit on that court.
Now,
a lot of advocates and people in your position, though, are encouraged by the ruling. They don't think this went far enough. The court has said that the opportunity for education under the law has to be substantial. Many of them would have preferred an equal ruling, that appropriate means it has to be equal to every other kid who's in the school. They haven't said that.
They haven't said that, but they've moved up the ladder. You're right. I would have been far more zealous in what I want the school districts to provide for our children. But at least we have a move in the right direction from a unanimous court. I think I see you have a question for me.
Well, I do want to know how this ruling, once it comes down from the ivory marble court, affects students directly. Where would the classroom potentially change now for students who are situated in this way?
Can I give you an example of a case that I saw yesterday in my
Sure.
office, which I thought was very intriguing? It's a child with a solidly average level of intelligence, a solid good IQ, cognitive skills were really right there. Had been in special ed in New York City's public schools, identified as a special ed student since third grade, had an IET, an IEP, was in an integrated co-teaching environment, two teachers in the class, a gen ed teacher, a special ed teacher, a lot of related services, and even received extra resource room. By the end of eighth grade, although every year he received passing grades, he's now at the end of eighth grade, and the parents are still saying, but we don't see this, that he should have been getting these passing grades. Had him evaluated twice. By the end of eighth grade, this child is reading between a second and third grade level.
And so now that the court has ruled, this would have been accelerated. In other words, the school district would have a higher responsibility.
The school district's burden, they will never be able to say, well, we've given this child a de minimis education. He was able to graduate. He was able to pass social studies. They'll never get away with that.
And if they try, somebody like you goes to court. That's the point here.
Correct. And my entire bar and the special ed advocacy community in the country is happy for this. Yes, it didn't go far enough, but it certainly took us up the ladder.
And briefly, a school district administrator, a superintendent looks at this ruling and they see their responsibilities how now?
They're frightened. They're frightened about the financial implication. And the justices were concerned about that. School district attorneys raised this in their amicus briefs. They have a greater level of accountability. There has to be more thoughtfulness. Remember, back in 2004, when we reauthorized the IDEA, we changed it to the Individuals Disability Education Improvement Act.
Improvement Act. And that's largely what the court has done here. Regina Skier, founder and manager of the law offices of Regina Skier and Associates, thanks for being here.
Thanks.